Howard Washington Thurman, was born November 18th, 1899. He's an American author, philosopher, theologian, mystic, educator, and civil rights activist. He had a fierce dedication for seeking justice. He proclaimed a radical, non-violent message, and he had an abiding and deep faith. It's for these reasons that Thurman became a mentor for many of the civil rights leaders of the 1960s, chief among them the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In the summer of 1962, Howard Thurman gave a series of sermons at Marsh Chapel, the chapel at Boston University, titled The Temptations of Jesus. Before each sermon, he would offer a meditation. And so I want to share with you this morning one of the meditations that Howard Thurman offers. And I will say, by the way, Howard Thurman died not all that long ago, on April 10th, 1988. So my friends, hear the words of Howard Thurman. We bring into the quietness of thy presence, our Father, all the particulars of our lives. We would not hold back from thy scrutiny any particular facet of ourselves. The things of which we are ashamed and by which our spirits are embarrassed, the good things which we have done and the good impulses of which we are aware, those whom we recognize by ties of kinship, but with whom we have no fellowship, those whom we recognize by ties of kinship and with whom we have deep and abiding fellowship, those whom we love as best we can, those whom we have not yet learned how to want to love, the quiet satisfaction of some part of us that is found in the strength of hostility and the reinforcement of bitterness of heart, our maladies we bring before thee, the things in our bodies that have given us trouble, which we cannot quite shake off, despite all the skills of the minds of men and all the wisdom of the art of healing, those deep and turbulent upheavals in our spirits that keep our minds divided and our emotions in revolt. Into the quietness, our Father, we bring all the facets of our lives. We hold them there, trying to restrain ourselves, lest we ask of thee that which is not in accordance with thy purpose and thy will, waiting that we may discern the movement of thy spirit amidst all the hinterland of our region. Given the current state of our world and our country and our communities, it is not surprising that many people are focusing on what we are called to do as people of faith, because indeed there is much that needs to be done. When we combine the state of this present moment with the fact that we've been reading Luke's gospel for much of the past year, the exhortation to do only becomes stronger. Because in teaching after teaching, in parable after parable, we are being called to do very particular things. In these parables that we hear throughout Luke's gospel, we hear calls to work for economic justice. We hear calls about how to create appropriate and proper familial relationships. We hear the need to take the outcast, the marginalized, and welcome them into the very heart of the community. We hear all of those things that we are called to do that are part of that great reversal which is at the heart of Luke's gospel. But life is about more than doing. Where we are in Jesus' journey in Luke's gospel, it's towards the end of his earthly life. Just a few verses beyond what we hear today in our gospel passage, Jesus will make his entry into Jerusalem, that site of the greatest reversal of all, where we will witness death becoming the means of life. And since Jesus is in the final phase of his journey, what he teaches and how he teaches shifts. And he takes a different tack. No longer is it just about doing. What Jesus is calling us to is something that is at the very core of ourselves. It is about the very nature of our being. Today, we hear the story of Zacchaeus. Now, if you're anything like me, when you hear the name Zacchaeus, in your mind, you immediately start singing that old Sunday school song. You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed into the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Is it just me who thinks that? Thanks, friends. All right, I'm even seeing a couple of affirmative nods from this section. Yesterday, while I was hanging out with some of the thrift shop folks, I subjected them to me singing it to them, but I'm going to be nicer to you all than I was to them yesterday. Now, there's something really wonderful about these stories that we've known, that are near and dear to us. We hear them and we learn them as children, but we've got to resist the temptation to then approach them and encounter them the same way we first learned them, because I promise you, there is more to the story of Zacchaeus than just a man who's too short to see through the crowds. But to understand what's happening in the story of Zacchaeus, we actually have to take a step back and look at the parable we heard last week. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. So Jesus tells this parable that these two men, the Pharisee and the tax collector, they've gone to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee's prayer, if I might paraphrase, goes something like this. What's got two thumbs that is awesome? This guy. It's not quite how it's written in scripture, but you get the drift. The Pharisee's prayer is not even a humble brag, it's just a brag with an addendum of, and hey God, by the way, thanks for not making me like those people over there. And then we have the tax collector, who can't even stand in the center of the temple, right? He stands off in a corner, he's bent over, he's beating his breast, and all that he can utter is, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And so in that parable, we are invited to remember that thing we need most in our lives, God. I guess I shouldn't call God a thing, but you know what I mean. We need God's presence in our lives. We need that honesty. And so we are asked to take the place of the tax collector in that parable, that place of humble honesty and vulnerability for God. To be before God in the fullness of who we are, the good, the bad, and the ugly, not just like the superficial things, you know, we post on our social media pages, but the real stuff of our lives. That is the posture which we meet Zacchaeus. That place of humbleness, of openness, of honesty and vulnerability before God. But Zacchaeus, he's going to take it a step further. Now, Zacchaeus is a tax collector, just like the unnamed tax collector here in the parable last week. But Zacchaeus isn't just any tax collector. He's the chief tax collector. And Luke tells us that he was a rich man. And he gets to be in that place by exploiting his neighbors. So there is no doubt or curiosity why everybody in the crowd grumbles that Jesus is going to Zacchaeus' house. And it's not because Jesus is just kind of being presumptuous and saying, hey, Zacchaeus, I'm coming over for dinner tonight. I mean, come on, how would you feel if somebody just came up to you and said, hey, I'm going to come to your house for dinner tonight? I mean, if Jesus came here and asked me, I'm like, great, have fun eating candy and a random smattering of leftovers that are in my fridge at the moment. But that's not why the people are grumbling. They're grumbling because they know this man to be one who's exploited them, who has taken advantage of them, and has gotten rich at their expense. But the man that the crowd loves to hate is not the Zacchaeus that we hear about today. We see a different side of this man. Now, Zacchaeus, he is willing to do whatever it takes to see Jesus. And so, even looking like a fool, he runs through the crowd and climbs up on a tree. Now, I want you to imagine, if you will, what it would be like to see somebody with a rather public and important position in the community to run through the crowd and climb a tree. So, like, in your mind, envision Senator Jack Reed running through the crowd and climbing up into a tree to see everybody, with all due respect to the senator, but, like, he's not the tallest of human beings. I imagine there are times when he has trouble seeing through the crowd. I mean, imagine what it would be like, right? You're all laughing, and rightly so. It's kind of a ridiculous thing, but that's what Zacchaeus does. He goes into the tree so he can see. And from that tree, from that vantage point, his life has changed. As Jesus comes near and says to him, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. And in that moment, Zacchaeus experiences his own great change. That great reversal that's echoed so many times in Luke. Zacchaeus experiences it in that moment. Because when he comes down from the tree, he is changed. Now, Zacchaeus, when he comes down from the tree, he doesn't make all excuses for his behavior. He doesn't say, well, I'm sorry, but everybody else was doing it, so I did it too. Because, I mean, imagine if Zacchaeus said, everybody else is doing it too, Jesus might say, well, and if everybody else jumped off a bridge, would you do that too? Zacchaeus comes down. He doesn't make excuses for his behavior. He recognizes that he has fallen short. He's not lived as he should. And he is ready to make restoration, to seek reconciliation. And so he comes down and says to Jesus, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sell my possessions and give the money to the poor. And anybody I've defrauded, not only am I going to pay them back, I'm going to pay them back four times over. And Zacchaeus does all that, not with shame, not from a place of kind of depressed, humble, woe is me sort of place. He does it with joy. And that's that step beyond what the unnamed tax collector did last week, we heard. Doing that, being in that open and vulnerable posture, but doing it with joy. And there's a very particular reason why we can do so with joy, while Zacchaeus does so with joy. And it's because of how God approaches us. Now, I don't want to give you any delusion. I want to be very clear. I do believe that God judges all of us. And that on that great judgment day, all of us will be judged. But the thing about God's judgment is, God doesn't judge us with wrathful indignation. God does not judge us to punish us. God's not saying like, all right, I'm ready to smite those pesky humans. It's not what God does. God judges us with love. God judges us with mercy and kindness. God judges us so that we can become the best versions of ourselves. There's a line in Scripture, God, we are tried just as silver is tried. It's a way of purifying ourselves so we can be who God created us to be from the very beginning of time. Zacchaeus can come down in joy from that tree. He can be honest with who he is. He can be honest before God because he knows intuitively the love of God which awaits him. We can come before God honest with who we are and all that we are and all that we've done and all that we left undone without shame, without fear, because we will be met by God's love. That's the openness, the vulnerability, the fullness that Howard Thurman speaks of in that meditation. I mean, I don't know if you've caught it, but I love the lines back and forth. Like, for example, when he says, you know, we bring into fullness, right? All of those we know by kinship and whom we love and have abiding relationship, those family and friends we have good relationships with, we know and love and we spend time with, and we also bring into those familial relationships that most people we don't love so much. Those people we don't talk to. Those people we have strained relationships with. We bring the fullness of those things. And we bring all those things forward to God. We empty ourselves before God and those things that are good, those things that are hard, so that we might be filled anew with God's love and God's mercy. That we might be transformed ourselves just as Zacchaeus was transformed. What we hear today, it's not about doing, it's about being. That our very beings, who we are, might be changed and transformed so that we can go on ahead and walk with Jesus in this road that is before him. Because when Jesus says to Zacchaeus, come down from this tree, Zacchaeus is saying to each and every one of us, come down, come here, come closer. Jesus is waiting for us to come closer to him. Jesus is waiting for us to journey with him towards Jerusalem so that we can experience that greatest and most miraculous thing of all when we arrive in that holy city. We can experience death being destroyed once and for all. We can experience and receive a life more abundant than we can ask for or imagine. We can receive that wholeness, that reconciliation, that restoration, which we long for, which we desire for, which we need more than anything else in this world. So my friends, today, I invite you, we are invited to be like Zacchaeus. And I'm not talking about going outside and climbing some trees. I mean, if you want to do that, great, but I'm going to be getting all the candy in my office ready for trunk or treat tonight. Like, seriously, there's a lot of candy in my office right now. But we be like Zacchaeus. We come honestly before God, and we do so with joy. We ask ourselves, we check in with ourselves, how is our spiritual vision doing? We wonder, when was the last time we sought after God with joy? We wonder how it is we are called to be transformed, that we might go forth from this place to love and serve God and the world, be part of the work God has and is and will continue to do in our midst. It's because of all this, my friends, that we offer our prayer and praise. We offer our thanks to God. It's because of this that we can go forth from this place full of joy. Amen.
Amen. Amen.